20 years ago, we could have seen all those people reading books, not by turning pages, but by scrolling a screen on a shiny portable tablet, we would have thought we'd arrived at another planet. But it's happened, as the Australian publishing giant Angus and Robertson, who we've been discussing, found out last week. Well, predictions like these are what keeps Morris Milovsky, I believe, Misilovsky in business as a professional business futurist. Morris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Milovsky?
It's Misilovsky.
Misilovsky.
Yeah.
Very sorry.
No need to be.
Normally not too bad with those... is it Polish originally?
The name is Polish, yes. But I could foresee most people having a problem with it.
Okay. Do you have access to that crystal ball I was talking about?
No, I don't. But if you could let me know where I could get one.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, tell us, what does a business futurist actually do?
A business futurist, my role is to advise corporations and individuals on the way the world is likely to play itself out, literally from the near future, which is this minute, in my case through to the next 30 years or so.
And what's your advice based on your reading of the way society is going, what we're buying, what we're doing, trends, fashions, fads?
Yes, all of that, and human nature. I work as what I call an anthropological futurist, meaning that I have a basic belief that humankind's been the same ever since we were put on Earth. We're hardwired to react to things in a certain way. It's a matter of understanding that human psychology, that human insight, and also being able to think about and understand the way the world's likely to move forward, and then to put the two together. If this is the case, if this happens, what's our likely reaction to it? How much will we buy? Will we want this as a product? Are we likely to accept this as a marketplace? And answer all those questions with my clients as we find them.
Do you see the same sort of set of patterns in that human behaviour playing themselves out over and again in different circumstances and in different business scenarios?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because the way that we react is fairly similar. I mean, you know, we react to wanting food, to wanting shelter, to wanting all kinds of things, and that's fairly well known. So the industry, the way we offer it and what we offer may change, but often the human side of it doesn't change that much.
And the other innate human desire, I guess, comes into your sphere of understanding, the desire to be amused, entertained, kept from being bored.
Absolutely. And isn't that a strong desire?
I mean, you know, very.
Most of us will put up a little bit of downtime, but increasingly more and more we want, as you said, to be entertained. We want our days filled.
And I guess perhaps 60, 70 years ago, that wasn't an option. Life was tougher. The kind of generation that grew up thinking, well, I don't want to just survive, I want to have a good life and a happy and an interesting and amusing one, has led to different ways of thinking and different ways of buying.
Absolutely. I mean, comparing ourselves back over the generations, it's sometimes difficult because the needs and the desires they had were very different. As you said, looking back 60 or 70 years ago, it really still was a matter of putting food on the table. If we're talking, you know, war and post-war, it was a matter of rebuilding our society through the 50s and 60s. And certainly the baby boomers, as they're often referred to, were the ones who lived through some pretty horrendous times, or saw some horrendous times, and were determined that wasn't going to happen for them. Also, the things that they had access to. You know, television only came about in Australia in the early 50s. Certainly, travelling was not something that they could do a lot of. Radio was certainly around, and that was perhaps one of the great mediums of the time. But certainly, very different opportunities. Very different opportunities.
Yes, of course. In those days, the only way most of us could travel was to join the armed forces. That's not the most ideal way to see foreign countries, is it?
No, it wasn't. Unfortunately, it wasn't a guarantee of a return.
Fascinating. What you do. Ian Campbell, the owner, you may have heard of one of our business friends, the Hoonie Hobart, told us this, isn't that what's happening in publishing is not just to do with the digital revolution. What's your take on what's happening with it?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I always think it's too simplistic to blame anything on one single factor. I would say that online had something to say with this collapse, but it certainly wasn't the main reason. Borders across the world has not been doing well as a format. I mean, they closed in UK a couple of years ago.
The American, is that right?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, the UK collapsed, and that was the word. It collapsed in 2009. We know that the American one has gone into difficulty in the same period as ours. So it seems that format itself is no longer sustainable on a global basis.
That format being, it's simply a big bookshop, isn't it?
It's a big, big box. It takes a lot to fill that box. It takes a lot of books. It takes a lot of shelves. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of customers buying the things on the shelves. All of those things are very, very expensive. And when we have alternatives, some people choose those alternatives. Those people aren't going into the store to buy the books, you know, to give the wages to the people, to pay the landlord and do all the other things that has to be done. So it doesn't sustain itself. There's no way that can carry on.
But small bookshops, how better are they doing?
Look, I think the small bookshop will survive. If we go back to the basic premise of will we be reading, the answer is absolutely yes. Will we be reading some things online? The answer again is absolutely yes. We haven't had the opportunity before. We do now, and some people are encouraged to do it that way. But there's a whole heap of us that would just prefer to have the hard copy book, and we will go into bookstores for many, many years to come. But again, as Ian said before, some of that marketplace will be taken by online, some of it.
Thinking of a very ironic incident that happened in Melbourne a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know if people have gone up to visit the Borders bookshop there in Carlton. Across the road is one of the great bookshop institutions of Melbourne, Reading's bookshop in Lygon Street there. The hue and cry that erupted from all the fans of that one, of Reading's, when Borders are opening was enormous. It was saying, this is going to be the end of Reading's, it's finished, how can you do this? Letting this multinational come in, blah, blah, blah. Well, not only did Reading's not suffer, but their intake went dramatically up as a result of more people being aware of them. And now they looks like they're going to outlive the company that they thought was going to finish them off.
It does seem that way. And I think what you said is part of the reason that these bookstores like Reading's and other independents will thrive into the future. And I use the word thrive. And that's because they have a community around them. They have people that value them, not just their books. Increasingly in retail, we know that the end product, we can get that in a myriad of ways. We can go on store, we can go online, we can go to eBay, we can go to all kinds of places. But it's the experience around getting that we want, and we all want it in different ways. And if you think about the average book buyer, does enjoy being part of a community. They enjoy talking to people about books. They want to find out what other people are reading, what was great, you know, what's coming up. And those things really work nicely in the smaller format bookstore like Ian's Dimmocks and like Reading's and a whole lot of others. There are knowledgeable people there with wisdom, and that's what's going to move any retail store forward.
I believe Australia is also famous for being one of the few places where the great Starbucks empire actually had to retreat from. Is that true?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, I don't know the number, but I think we're down to tens of Starbucks in Australia, if that. It certainly did have to retreat. There was a lot of issue with them. But it was a format that came out of the States, took off here, and fell just as quickly.
Yes. Interesting that you can't just simply transplant cultural entities like that from one country to another, even if you think it's just a matter of opening a shop. It's often we're more. I'm actually quite proud of that notion that we did that. I had a little twinkle in my eye for a while when I heard that some of the Starbucks are actually closing down in favour of the more smaller kind of shops. But that's what we're looking at. Retailers can't take us for granted.
Well, they can't and they shouldn't. There was a period there where perhaps they felt they could and we were willing to buy. Let's face it, we went through some really good times before the GFC. People had some money in their pocket. They were going into stores. They were buying. It was kind of easy for a lot of retailers. Over the last 2 or 3 years, it hasn't been easy for anybody, let alone for retailers. So it's already started to get rid of those people that perhaps shouldn't have been in the industry, perhaps aren't offering the best customer service and the best experience. And, you know, it becomes the perfect storm now, where online retailing is another one of those elements that's going to help to sort out that industry.
Well, and less than a minute to go, but it is ironic, isn't it, somehow, Morris, that in an age where information has exploded, one of these more traditional means by which that information is disseminated, books, is changing rapidly, and we'll no doubt continue to see it change, won't we?
Oh, we absolutely will. And you're right, information just abounds, but it's wisdom that we want to buy, and that's where the local bookstore or any other small retailer does really well.
Lovely, lovely point to end it on. Morris Mizalovsky, thank you very much. Business Futures, thanks for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure.